Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our expository study of the Epistle to the Church in Galatia. We will begin our look at chapter 5, covering verses 1 through 5, and we've titled this study, "Ye Are Fallen from Grace." That phrase is mistakenly used by those who claim that a person can lose their salvation, and we will see why such a use is completely erroneous in this study. But before we begin, we want to share a letter we love from a sister, Chanel, who writes from overseas, and she says, "Dear brother, I listen to your sermons and teaching regularly, as well as Pastor Charles Lawson's. It seems there are very few pastors out there that preach the truth. Thank the Lord for true godly men like you that are not afraid to stand for God's word. I live overseas and don't have a church or any Christian friends. I did search desperately for one and found a Baptist church, only to find out they are 501c3 and they think I am reading too much into the end times." Chanel then asks us a question about the Bible and then requests prayer and then closes her letter saying, "Thank you, brother, and God bless you and your family in Christ Jesus." Thank you, Sister Chanel. And we are very thankful for all of these letters, which offset the constant flow of less than friendly responses we get from the increasingly wicked world in which we live. And if you haven't written and would like to, you can simply go to bbfohio.com and send your letter to our email address posted there. It's bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send your letter by U.S. Postal, and you can send that to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. That's P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. We look forward to hearing from you, and we certainly look forward to continually adding new studies to our online Bible teaching ministry, making them available free of charge to all who want to learn the Word of God. And now let's begin our study of Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. "Ye are fallen from grace." This is part 1 of 2.
Galatians chapter 5, our study of that chapter. We've been through the previous four chapters of Galatians. If you've missed any of those messages, go to bbfohio.com and you can watch them on video or you can listen to them in sermon audio. And this week we're going to cover verses 1 through 5. "Ye are fallen from grace" is the title. And so we're going to warn all of you about losing your salvation. And just make sure everybody endures to the end. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Let's read this together. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Now, Satan wants to keep you in sin or get you involved in heresy. Yeah. Those are the main two things Satan has. You know, all the preaching today is God has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, let me tell you something. God does have His will for your life. And if you will get right in right standing with Him, you're already saved by the blood, but you've got to get in His will, and He's got a plan, and He'll work out your life. But I want to tell you something else. Satan has a plan for your life too.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're going to choose whether you're going to follow Satan's plan for your life or you're going to follow God's plan for your life. And I got another news flash for some of you maybe here today. If you think that you have a plan for your life, you are fooled because your plan is the same as Satan's.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Right. What's your plan for your life? You and the devil are walking together on that one. Mm-hmm. I'll guarantee you. You say, well, I plan to serve the Lord. I plan to do it. Did you ask Him?
Amen.
There are a lot of preachers who plan to serve the Lord, but God never called them.
Amen.
And the devil end up using them.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Missionaries. I've known missionaries. People who claim to be in the mission field or called to the mission field. You know where they are now? I can take you to a guy right now who was called to the mission field. He runs a porn site. I know. I can tell you another guy who said he was called into the mission field, and he's up on international charges for sex crimes.
Wow.
I can take you to preachers who are in prison today. Why? Because they weren't God-called preachers. And if you ain't God-called, then you're going to get off onto your own little trip, and it's going to end up tripping you up and destroying your home, destroying that church, destroying your life.
Yeah. Amen. That's right. Right.
Yeah. You have got to seek God's will for your life. And if He can't get you into sin, He'll get you into heresy. Those are the two main things. He wants you to destroy your testimony by getting caught up in sin. He wants you to fall prey to the wickedness around us morally in this world. But if you walk the straight and narrow path of morality, then He'll try to get you tripped up into heresy. And that's what He's doing to a lot of folks today. A lot of professing Bible believers. And Paul fights against both. He says in verse 1, look at your Bible or look up here again. He says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And the perverted mind will take that word liberty and say, I'm free to disobey God.
Yeah.
No, it's the liberty being set free from the penalty of sin and also being set free from the power of sin.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
This modern, useless, fake gospel that doesn't tell people that Christ died for your sins, you sinner. Repent and believe the gospel and be saved. Any other gospel is fake. That's it right. Is a Amen. False gospel.
Amen.
You want to know why independent, fundamental Baptist churches are going to hell? It is because they're preaching a fake gospel. They're preaching a neutered, castrated, half gospel. Christ died for your sins, not just the fact you're unbelieving.
Amen. That's right.
And you are now set free from the penalty and the power of sin. And if you get into sin in your personal life, it's because of you.
There you go.
You chose to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And if He won't get you with sin, then He'll get you with heresy. And how many people you know today are all of a sudden, the word Jesus isn't good enough. They have to talk about Yeshua.
Yeah.
And Yahweh. And oh, I'm holy because I'm using Hebrew. Amen. That's the big thing today. And what they end up doing is becoming a Judaizer, just like we're talking about in the book of Galatians.
Yeah, right.
They start to get entangled in the law again. And they start to try to follow the feasts. Haven't you seen that?
Yeah.
And all these false prophecies. You see these. You can boil all the Harold Campings and the Wisenot was another guy who put out the 88 reasons Jesus would return in 1988. Remember that?
Yeah.
And you go to all these, and even good men who don't necessarily set a date, but they try to suggest that maybe September 23rd, 2015 might be the day of the rapture. Why? Because of a feast in Israel.
But nobody knows that but the Father.
The feasts have nothing to do with you. You're not a Jew.
Amen.
The feasts have nothing to do with the church. The church isn't Israel.
Amen.
That's what my point is. You don't even have to know the specifics. Once somebody starts to try to tie you into the feast, they are going off into heresy, and they'll drag you with them.
There you go.
Yeah. And I mean, I've made the case, and these guys, right up to the very day that these false prophets have prophesied, they won't listen, and they'll embarrass themselves. Then after it's all said and done, then they quit.
Yep.
And I'm not going to say they quit the Lord because they weren't with the Lord to begin with.
Yes, amen.
Heresy results in bondage. You're either going to fall into sin or into apostasy. And heresy is the reason behind both of those. People who think, oh, God's okay with my sin. Heresy. That's a heresy. Mm-hmm. I can live in sin because I'm not under the law anymore. Heresy. You're not under the law in the sense of the Mosaic law, but you are still, as a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and God will not put up with wickedness.
Amen.
And if you won't listen when the Holy Spirit tries to lead you in the ways of righteousness, then you will go into sin, but it'll be based on your thoughts. The heresy that you bought into, the lies, the false gospel. The Galatians were adding works to the message of salvation. Now look at this. We work because we are saved, not in order to be saved.
Amen.
And the Galatians were being told, oh, I know you believed the gospel, but you aren't circumcised. They'd go to the men and say, you aren't circumcised. You got to be circumcised to be saved. Now see, that's what happens to a lot of Christians. I believe they're saved. They get saved. But then someone comes along and says, yeah, but you got to be baptized. Or you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus only and show the evidence of speaking in tongues, evidence of the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues. Or you've got to, and then they add other things. Some churches just add a whole list of things that if you're not doing, then you're not saved. You see, and we'll kind of come back to the whole thing of repentance again, but let me tell you something. There's an attitude of the heart that is required of you to be saved. But you're not going to immediately, or even in this life ever, practice your Christianity perfectly. But God is looking at the heart, the attitude. There's a difference between rebellion, and outright rebellion against God, which most Christians today seem to be of that mindset. There's a difference between that and the typical Christian who's a human being and just trips up, makes bad choices, not in rebellion. But folks, we're human, and so all we have to do is tomorrow. If you wake up tomorrow without an attitude of prayer, you're not in the Word, you're not singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you're not thinking upon the things you should be thinking upon, and you turn around and you put on that carnal mindset, and you fill your head with the crappy music that so many Christians listen to, and you fill your mind with the conversations that so many Christians have, and you start walking that carnal path, you're going to sin all day long.
Amen.
But you have the liberty to live over that, to overcome that. You have the power of God in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. If you wake up in the morning in prayer, you wake up with the Word of God on your mind, the songs of God in your heart. You're singing songs and psalms and spiritual songs. And you go in your day with the Lord. You can overcome those sins. You say, well, I live the whole day perfectly. Probably not. But you do a whole lot better than the other way. You see, and that's all it is. It comes back to your attitude, your heart. Paul says in verse 2, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Meaning that if you think being circumcised in any way helps you get saved, then you're not saved.
Amen.
If you came to a church meeting and you went and got baptized thinking that baptism is what saved you, you're not saved.
Amen.
If you were sprinkled or poured as an infant and you think that that's what saved you, you're not saved.
Amen.
The Bible is clear there's only one way to be saved.
Amen.
And that is by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection, understanding that Christ died for your sins, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. And the Bible says that you repent toward God because you're going this direction. And again, it's not just your unbelief. It's everything about you.
Amen.
It's your unbelief. It's what you are. You are a depraved, wicked
Amen.
Sinner. It's the things you do. You, everything, turn around and say, God, I want nothing to do with that. I embrace the cross
Amen.
For salvation. And you're saved. You can't pick and choose. If you want the law, you must obey it all. Amen?
Amen.
That'd make a good t-shirt. If you want the law, you must obey it all. And that's what people today will do. They'll pick and choose. Well, I'm going to obey this and this. We're going to do this and this that's in the law. Wait a minute. No. If you're under the law, you can't eat shrimp. You can't any shellfish, I guess. What was it we were looking it up? I always get it mixed up in my head. But the horse or the animal, I say, that chews the cud but has the hoof that's
divided.
You better learn that. I mean, if you're going to be saved by the law, you better watch what you order on the menu.
It's in Leviticus.
Yeah, it's all right there. But people pick and choose. They're like, oh, no, that's not for me today, but this one here is, and that one here is. What's wrong with that? Because law cannot save you, but once you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, and His Word guides you into right and wrong, but it's not a list. And it's so hard. Christians don't want to live in the Spirit. We are in the age of the Spirit. You are born again. You have the Holy Spirit in you. No other age had that.
Amen.
When Noah got on the ark, he was not indwelt by the Holy Spirit. When David wrote the Psalms, he had the Holy Spirit in his life, but he said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." You don't have to worry about that. But in that age, you did. And during the tribulation period, you have to believe, but you better not take that mark or you'll go to hell.
That's right.
You're not eternally secure. I don't care how many of these dopes out there tell you otherwise. You're not eternally secure during the tribulation period. If you take the mark, you'll go to hell.
Amen.
Amen. He says, "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." If you're going to try to be saved by the law, you've got to do the whole law. Read it closely. Every man that is circumcised for salvation, thinking he can pick that one thing out of the law and do it and be saved, he is a debtor to do the whole law. And then you'll stand before God, who will be seated on a great white throne, and it will be revealed that you did not keep the whole law, and you'll be cast into a lake of fire. What kind of fool tries to be saved by keeping the law? Whenever God Himself put on human flesh, died on the cross, shed His blood for your sin, was buried and rose again, and says, "Repent from all this nonsense and turn to me and you can be saved."
Amen.
People won't do it. They'd rather have a hand in it. I want a little praise for me. I'll give Jesus credit for doing His part, but I want a little praise for me.
Mm-hmm.
God knows that's the way man thinks. That's why He wrote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9.
Amen.
"For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you could have a part in it, you could go to heaven and say, "Thanks for what you did there, Jesus, and glory be to me for what I did to help."
Mm-hmm.
"Come on, all you angels, sing a little about me." That's what would happen in heaven if you could get there on your own or with you helping at all. And anyone claiming to keep the law today is nothing but a pretender.
Amen.
You can't keep the law. According to the law, you can't keep the law. According to the law, we don't have time to run all the references. Go back to Leviticus and read it. Keep the law, you have to have a temple or a tabernacle. You can't keep the law without a temple or a tabernacle. It's impossible. You have to be in Jerusalem with that temple and tabernacle. You can't put it over here in, Canton, Ohio. You know, you can't go down to Portsmouth. They need jobs, so let's put a temple down there. No, you can't do that. It's got to be in Jerusalem. You have to have the Aaronic priesthood, which right now the Temple Institute's trying to reestablish under those named Cohen and a certain DNA. They're trying to get ready for the tribulation period when there will be a temple. You don't have that right now. You have to offer animal sacrifice. You say, "Well, wait a minute." No, even during the millennium, there'll be animal sacrifice. Again, I don't care what the dopes say. It's going to be there.
Yeah.
There will be a memorial sacrifice during the millennium. You have to have a high priest. Not just in the spiritual sense as Jesus is our high priest, but you need a man without a high priest. You can't do any of this stuff. And you don't have any of that. So there's no way for you to keep the law And there's 613 of them. And most people who claim to be keeping the law can't name more than a dozen.
Amen.
There's 613 of them. It's all or nothing, folks. That's what I'm saying. That's what Paul said. It's all or nothing. If you think you're going to get there by the law, you better keep it all. Or you don't pass the muster. You'll stand at a white throne and you'll be condemned. And I want to make this one clarification before moving on. Repentance is not a work. The lie of the day is that if you preach that people must repent, you're adding works to salvation. That's a lie of the devil. And that's why our churches are filled with a bunch of unsaved people who said a little prayer. That's why our churches are filled with people who are living in Sodom and not even being rebuked as long as they don't flaunt it. Because they said a little prayer when they were six without repentance. Can you be saved at six? If you have the intellect, the understanding of the gospel, and you have repented from what you are, even at that age, you've been a wicked little sinner that your mom and dad, if they're good parents, they busted your butt more than once.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
All the parents said amen.
Amen.
Amen. All the kids say, oh me. You are a wicked sinner. You're depraved. You have committed sins that put Jesus on the cross. And you have the wrong belief, the wrong idea. From birth, we have the wrong idea about salvation. But if at age six, or whatever age it is, you understand that, and you turn from that to God, believing on the death, burial, and resurrection, you can be saved.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something. None of that. Your faith, that repentance, didn't come out of you. The only thing you do is receive the Word of God. That's it.
Amen.
2 Thessalonians 2:3, is that the right reference? That he says, you must receive the Word of God as it is in truth, the Word of God. Not the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually works in those who believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. If you receive the Word of God, God works in you and gives you repentance and faith. That's why you won't boast about anything in heaven.
Amen.
You won't even run around in heaven saying, I believed. I believed. It was me. I'm the one who believed. See, the Calvinists, they trip over that and they turn it into this weird thing where God just forces you to believe and that you're saved in opposition to your will. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says that the gospel is presented. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
Not irresistible grace or some other garbage coming from the Calvinist mind.
Amen.
But when that gospel is preached, if you receive it as the Word of God, that's it. God will produce in you the repentance and faith to be saved.
1 Thessalonians 2:3.
2:13. Boy, I blow my credentials of infallibility almost weekly. I mean, if that was part of my ministry, try to convince you of that, I'd have to do an awful lot of editing. But in spite of my lack of recollection of the right reference, it says that in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Look it up. Now, I want to run this reference as quickly. Acts 5:31 says this about God giving repentance. It's not a work. Him hath God exalted, talking about Jesus, with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. If the liars out there saying repentance is a work, then it would say for Israel to get their own repentance and forgiveness of sins. It doesn't say that. It says for God to give repentance to Israel. Another reference we've learned previously, 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. When people say that repentance is a work, they're a liar. They're a false teacher.
Amen.
And I'm reviewing this again because this last couple of weeks I've got emails and posted messages telling me that I'm preaching a false gospel because I preach that You must repent of what you are, what you have done, what you believe, everything about you. The Bible never limits repentance. These guys say, it only means your unbelief. Where does the Bible ever say that?
Nowhere.
Repentance is about all that you are, all that you have done, all that you believe.
Amen.
You turn to God. And anyone who hacks off repentance and says it's only about belief, let me tell you something. They're not getting that out of the Bible. They're getting that out of a lexicon or some teacher and commentary. But they're not getting it out of the Word of God. And if you believe you can be saved without repenting of what you are and what you do, your sins and your unbelief, then this is the bottom line. You should go out on the street with a sign that says, don't stop sinning, just believe the facts of the gospel for a minute, and you can be saved for eternity. Because that's the fake gospel that's being preached today. Who wouldn't do that? I mean, not only would I get eternal life, you know, it's not true, but it's like indulgences to the Catholic. They give the priest the dime, and he throws it in the pot, and they grant to him absolution. That's the same thing this is. It's a cheap ripoff of the real thing. And if I'm sitting in my house, and someone comes knocking on my door, and they're going to sell me something, I want to get rid of them. I'm missing my TV program or the ball game or whatever. And if they tell me, listen, if you just say this prayer, you can be saved for eternity. And I'm thinking, wow, I can have eternal life and get rid of this bum. All right, I'll say a prayer. All right, dear Lord, thank you for saving me. You know, and that's what they do. The bum leaves. The guy goes back to his TV program. 3 or 4 years later, you come along. I'd like to discuss with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here, can I give you this tract? I'm already saved. Oh, you are? Why? What makes you believe you're saved? I said a prayer with a preacher a few years ago. Well, what was the prayer about? I just thank God for saving me. Well, what exactly are you believing in to be saved? I just believed what the guy said. I said the prayer. So I'm saved. That man's going to hell.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm.
You are not saved unless you've turned to God believing the death, burial, and resurrection has paid for your sins, and that only trusting in Jesus Christ saves you.
Yes.
And I don't care how many preachers have led you in sinner's prayer. If you're here this morning and you said a little prayer and you think that saved you, you're still going to hell.
Yes.
And you need to get serious with God. And you need to understand that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose again. You have to personally receive that word as the truth. And God will work in you repentance and faith. They're inseparable. They're not separate. It's the same thing. And a lot of people will say, and this is where I've taken this for granted, that's why I'm being more specific in these as we go along into apostasy and Laodicea to explain this. Because true faith involves repentance. So you don't always have to say the word repentance and faith. When you say faith, you're talking biblical faith, it involves repentance. And a Bible-believing Christian should understand that. But we're in days where people are chopping up the Bible so badly that you have to break it down and be that specific. It's the day and age we're living in. The repentant sinner who believes the gospel of Jesus Christ is forgiven, and those adding law...
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.